Just hit me with it, guys. What do you think?
I don't like you being honest.
What do you think? Okay.
I don't like you being honest.
So what are you telling me? Are you thinking I killed my husband?
No, I'm just saying that you're not being totally honest.
This is 34-year-old Teresa Connolly. Back in 2007, Teresa and her husband Jim shared a home in Ringgold, Georgia, with their two children, Allison and Caleb. Jim was a chiropractor in his own private practice, and he worked alongside his wife, who handled the secretarial part of their business. Money was not an issue for the family, until Jim suddenly became very ill, and he was no longer able to work. What made matters worse was that Teresa would become pregnant with a third child, but unfortunately, Teresa would undergo four separate surgeries, which resulted in the loss of the child. Teresa was unable to work, and soon the Connolly family would lose everything. 30 days before they would be evicted from their home for not paying their mortgage, the home caught fire while Teresa was out looking for a job with her children. Unfortunately, Jim's body would be found inside the burnt home. Firefighters searched the home looking for the cause of the fire, and they found evidence that the fire was not an accident. The evidence led police to believe that Teresa may have started the fire, so they brought her in for an interrogation.
Well, Ms. Connolly, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Detective Holcomb, obviously.
I do.
You remember Detective Keener. just wanted to talk to you once again about the events of last week dealing with this fire, okay? You've had a little bit of time to think about some things. I want you to kind of go over the events from last week dealing with this fire. I know, but I want you to go over them again for me. Okay.
I don't know anything about the fire.
Well, tell us again. Start off
in the morning time. What time did you wake up? That kind of stuff.
I don't know. We always woke up 6:30, 7 o'clock. Drank our coffee together. Talked. I don't know, husband and wife things. That's what you do before you get kids up. And I was going to go get a car. Took my shower. He talked to the kids a little bit, said he didn't feel well, but he'd been in bed for like 4 days. I mean, I can pull office records to show he's worked like maybe 6-7 days in 4 months. Anyway, long story short, he said his stomach was upset and he was gonna fix toast. And kiss me, tell me you love me. Tell the kids you loved them. And it says when we got back. And I didn't look at the clock, but I know we planned to leave at 8 and Robin was running late, or Austin, I don't know, when the kids was or something. And I know we didn't leave any later than 8:30. I know that. Went to Chick-fil-A. I paid for mine at her with cash. She went behind me. I mean, in same car, separate orders. Left there. Jerry called from the office and told me to pull over. And I'm like, I can't pull over. I'm in the middle of traffic. And he told me to get a phone to Robin. I did. She told me to get out of the car. I got out of the car, asked her what was wrong. And, she told me my house is on fire, and Jim hit me. Yeah. I just lost it there. That.
The fire chief reported that the fire started at about 9:15 that morning. Teresa claims that she did not leave her home any later than 8:30, and her first stop was a local Chick-fil-A not too far from her home. What's interesting is that the Chick-fil-A had surveillance footage of Teresa in the drive-thru just after 9:30 that morning. This means that Teresa would have left her house right about the time the fire started.
I just tried to keep the kids in the car and I had to walk up and kind of get a grip. And but nothing makes sense and I don't understand and I don't know what to do. You guys tell me. This is your scope, not mine. I don't know what to do. I don't know what you need to know. I don't know how to answer you because I wasn't there.
Well, I mean,
and I don't know.
The easiest way to answer us is to make sure you're telling us the truth when you answer us. everything that you tell it has to be accurate, because it's more difficult to tell a lie, because when we turn around and we find out if there's a lie, it's easy to verify.
Your word's a bond, and you're only as good as your bond, or as your word. That's how I was raised. I'm sorry. If it doesn't,
you're only as good as your word.
That's it.
Right. You heard that one too.
And you can pull, I don't care, call anybody you want to. Very reputable people that have known me for many years. And I'm just me. What you see is what you get. And I love my husband more than life itself. We had our hard times because he did get sick. And everybody has financial problems. It wasn't anything we wouldn't go get through.
So you say you had a good marriage?
We had a wonderful marriage. I mean, everybody has their days you don't like them. You love them, but you don't like them. But
so your only problems in your marriage were dealing with his health and financial problems?
And those had just started really the last 2 years. But I was doing good until I got sick last year. And that's when things, stress got worse for him and everything like that. But it was never to the point that we knew. We always knew we could do it. And we did. And yes, there was an age difference between us, but he was a late bloomer. You would just have known him. And he was a wonderful husband and a wonderful father. And
toxicology reports stated that Jim had been heavily sedated prior to the fire being started. This is the first issue the detectives want to cover, so they start by asking her what medications Jim took. Teresa begins naming the medications without any issues, but when she is asked about the ones that make Jim drowsy, she suddenly forgets what they are called.
He had taken trazodone at one time. Give me a minute, come. Starts with an S, for sleep aid. Seroquel, does that sound right? Seroquel. He occasionally took Valium, but only, it was like he would alternate them between Valium, the Roserum. He did have bipolar and he was depressed, but he loved life and he loved what he'd done. And I don't know, do people do things like this and just not mean to? Because I mean, he has snapped with bipolar before, but it was more, once you could get in there to say, what are you afraid of? Then suddenly he comes out of that. It was like something would snap and say, whoa, okay. I mean, you guys tell me, what do you think? What? Tell me something. Where is it? Where
tell me about your financial problems again.
Oh, they suck. Not so bad now. I'm back to work. He started. I got sick year before last. He was sick too. Last year, it really went down because I had so many. We lost a daughter, four surgeries, and him sick too. So I filed Chapter 13 to keep from losing everything. We were organizing everything. We were getting together and it would have been okay. It always has been. It's small business. They go up, they go down, and you stand together, and it's okay. It's not anything we've always made it through. I don't.
Were you losing the house?
That was up in the air because I was going to be able to call. I got a letter from their attorney that I had 30 days to make a proposal or something like that. But we were trying to work with options to see refinance or, because of his health, just go ahead, try to sell it and downsize, and then everything was okay. But then my dad was going to loan us the money to go ahead and work out with Countrywide. And so that wasn't an issue. That would have been okay. And he knew that.
The detectives know that Jim had a $500,000 life insurance policy, and the money would have solved all Teresa's problems. When the detectives ask her about the policy, Teresa claims that she doesn't want to know how much it was for.
What kind of life insurance policy did you have on?
Honestly,
you yourself and your husband?
Me, my dad carries mine, and it's like, I think, 150s, 170-some thousand. His, I don't know. I told him that because people are people. And I am 23 years younger than him. And I didn't ever want that to be an issue because there's no amount of money in this world worth my husband. He was my life and I was his.
Well, I mean, you're portraying yourself as having a great marriage that, you know, and I would consider a few arguments, you know, still could be great because everybody has arguments, but you're portraying yourself as having this great marriage. You're financial, you had problems, but you were working it out. And, you know, be honest with you, we've been checking and we're not finding that. We're finding that your marriage was awful.
How is that?
Well, I mean, we're finding that
two or three, four extramarital affairs. Least.
What?
You know, I don't think you want me to give you the names.
I do want you to give me names because I want it proved.
Be pretty easy to do.
Please.
We're just, look. No, we're trying to.
Our marriage wasn't perfect. Right.
Honesty is what
you. It wasn't, but.
Honesty is.
It is.
All you got.
But my husband is all I had. And one, when we first got married, and tell you what I told them, if I had had half as many as I had been accused of, it'd be unbelievable. And that's a fact. But, you know, we've been married 14 years and yeah, we had problems, but they were ours. And it was till death do we part.
When you say that you got no financial problems that you couldn't work out.
That wouldn't have worked out.
Both of you had filed Chapter 13. You lost both your cars. There's
when did he file 13?
There's two liens against your house right now in the courthouse.
When did he file Chapter 13?
Let me finish. And you owe, there's two federal liens against the business for not paying your taxes.
That was being looked at as well.
But you keep saying that. I mean, but you're portraying it for something that it's not.
No, because Georgia and I are working now. George Taylor at the IRS. Just hit me with it, guys. What do you think?
I don't like you being honest.
What do you think? Okay.
I don't like you being honest. I think your time that you left is just blatantly a lie.
But it's not.
It is. It's too far off.
We've got it proved.
We know what time you left.
So what are you telling me? Are you thinking I killed my husband?
No, I'm just saying that you're not being totally honest. All right, and you said the honesty and your word is all you've got.
And
right
is.
Now your word hasn't impressed me.
And that's fine, but I know when I left, I know what I've done, and I know our lives.
I think you knew what was going on. I do.
How would I have known what was going on?
That's what I'm here to find out. That's what I'm trying to find out. I would like for you to start being honest with us.
That is my husband of 14 years. Mm-hmm. And I loved him. Ask anybody.
Well, we have. We've asked a lot of people.
Call his mother. Call anybody. I don't know. Call them.
That's what we're telling you. We've been calling
people.
Everybody we talk to says the same thing. What you're portraying as your life.
Are you calling? Because I can count the ones that know better.
They were calling people that knew you guys.
And they're calling us.
Like who?
There's lots of people.
Guys, I love my husband. He gave me two wonderful children. And I would have never hurt him, ever.
And I don't say that I disagree with that.
I know that. And
I think there's a lot more going on than what you're willing to tell us.
I don't want to tell you things about him to make him look like a bad person, because he wasn't. He was sick.
All we're wanting is the truth.
And that is.
Yeah.
But I care.
We're not getting the truth from him. You know, not all
because
of it's the truth.
Because it's going to make him look like a bad person, and he's not.
I mean, the truth, you know, is all you got.
I would go to jail before I let somebody know that man would go off and about beat me and his son to death.
I talked to people that says he had a problem, that he was belligerent. He was belligerent at the office with you. That y'all came to almost blows at the office, that it was so bad. We've already talked to people. I'm familiar with that.
But I would go to jail before I would let somebody think bad of him because of that.
Well, right now, the only two people that knows what's going on is this detective and myself. And you know, and all we're trying to do is get to the truth. And rather you're telling us lies to keep from the truth coming out, which is
a bad person.
Well, the time frame you leaving is not gonna make him look bad. It's making you look bad because you're lying.
In her first interview, Teresa claimed that she had a wonderful marriage and her husband was perfect. Now she realizes they think she started the fire, so her story begins to change. Her new narrative is that he was a violent maniac, and he was more than capable of burning his house to the ground.
You know what time the fire call came in?
I have no clue.
Right around 9:30.
What?
Right around 9:30. And it'd been burning probably, you know, in that 20-minute range. So right about the time you left, it's about the time that fire started.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's a way.
So, is there anything else that you want to let us know?
I did not do this.
Not saying exactly that you did, but you know what happened.
I'm thinking that you have knowledge of what happened.
I can
tell you. What's going to happen.
I can tell you. No, I didn't know it was going to happen. But I know the last couple of weeks, he talked about wanting to die. He'd be better off dead. He was burdened.
So we asked you about that in the first interview.
And I told you,
why I take notes.
But that's when I told you, my heart, when you asked, I said, my head, because of his illness, Yeah, even,
the coroner asked
anything
you,
is possible.
The coroner asked
but
you,
my heart, he was sick, and he's like, you know, I just.
You know what?
Like, I'm having a bad day. My God, I'd just be better off dead. And
let's take Jim out of the equation. Let's say that had to happen to him. I still think you know what was going to happen that day. I think you knew that y'all were going to try to burn that house.
Why would I burn my husband alive?
I said, let's take him out of it. Let's say that he wasn't burned up. Let's just say that.
We didn't for argument's sake.
Because I'm not arguing that point.
So let's just, what he's saying.
Because that's not us.
Well.
That is not us.
You found yourself in a corner. You guys are back against the wall.
So you give it to the bank and you move in a smaller house.
Well, that would be the logical choice.
And that's the right thing.
You know what an accelerant is?
No.
Something that helps a fire get going. Gas.
Well, we had paint.
You know, fuel.
Well, it was paint and there was crap in the garage and I think God Goofoff was like given in our house.
As soon as an accelerant is mentioned, Teresa explains that Jim had been painting, so there was some painting stuff in the home. It turns out that the fire was started with paint remover, so the detectives find it interesting that Teresa brings up painting supplies as a possible accelerant.
We're not talking about
So you know what, I'm just giving you an example, you know what an accelerant is now.
Yeah.
Okay. There's accelerant on the floor, okay?
What Plains floor?
On your house, okay?
Okay, what floor?
In where the computer is, okay? Plain and simple, there's an accelerant. You left around 9:05. This fire call comes in at 9:30.
Fire's burned.
Somebody pours accelerant. And
before anybody
there is no way that you left at 9:05 and he had time. You knew that there was either you poured the accelerant. I'm going to be blunt. Either you poured the accelerant or he poured it, but you would have had to known about it. Plain and simple.
You had to know okay. about it.
And I left at that time.
I vowed, my dad, I was scheduled to meet him. I left.
We don't doubt that. And I'm not saying that.
And
I believe
said
that.
The other day, I want to sit here and tell you in my heart, he would never do that. But in his head, I don't know that he didn't feel so desperate that he wouldn't do that. But he had so many gifts that I don't think he'd do that.
Well,
I don't think that he would have set that fire without your knowledge. He wouldn't have burnt.
Yeah, he would have, because I wouldn't let him. You have no idea what I've been through him. And that's not bad. That is letting him know that people truly do love you for you. And hey, it's Teresa, okay that you're sick.
Teresa, let me tell you why lying and being honest is so important. Because a question like that, when you come back with an answer, now I don't know whether I can believe you or not, because I can already pick out a bunch of lies in your statements from way back. Things that I already knew to be true. And you lie to me about them, I try to see what you do. Well, I can't tell when you're being honest or when you're lying to me anymore. Because
you've
lied so much.
Honey, I haven't lied to you. Like I said,
pick out a bunch of lies.
In his head, I can't say that because of the bipolar. His heart.
The detective switches the subject to how they believe that Teresa was drugging her husband. Teresa has already told them that she and her husband have coffee together every morning, so they believe she put the medication in his cup of coffee.
I know me and my husband.
So would you,
and our wives.
What would you say if I told you we had people saying you were putting stuff in his coffee to keep him medicated and sedated, since you say you don't have never done that?
I would say Jim Conley hadn't drank coffee in 3 months. And if that was the case, I think he would have
done it in the past?
No. Why
you
don't
said,
coffee?
You
coffee?
I mean, I'll just throw it out there too. You said y'all drink coffee every morning, but the only reason he didn't drink coffee this morning was because his stomach was upset.
For the last couple of days. But we made it together, in the kitchen, together.
Yeah, so he hadn't drank coffee for the last couple of days, but now you just said he hadn't drank coffee in 3 months.
No, honey, I'm sorry.
That's what you said.
Let's slow down. No, 3 days, okay? My head is as clogged as it can be.
We'll go as slow as you want to go. Okay. That way you don't get confused.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay, the last 3 days, he got sick on Monday.
I'm just going to go back just for a second to our first interview where you said that you got up at 6 or 6:30 with your husband and that you both drank coffee and he fixed toast.
He was going to fix toast. And he made the coffee, but he didn't drink it because of his stomach. And truth
be known. So y'all got up together and went to the kitchen to fix the coffee?
We always did, yeah.
All right, then I'll come back to this interview. You said
and truth staying, be known, if you can find it, his green cup will probably be in the sink.
But I'm just pointing out the small things to you. You just told me 2 or 3 minutes ago that he stayed in bed. You got up and went and fixed your coffee.
I did.
So which is it? Did y'all both go in there and fix the coffee or did you
he
just go?
He went in after the bathroom. I'd heard, went in. You're asking me something that you tell me my husband did. I'm trying to process and remember everything I can. And it's like, wait a minute, we have a routine, but he went to the bathroom, you know, and tried to put together. And all I know is that man was my life. And he will be the rest of my life, dead or alive.
Right now, the evidence they have against her is all circumstantial. But one of the detectives has an idea. He is about to ask Teresa if she will take a polygraph test, but she must sign a written stipulation. The stipulation means that if Teresa was to fail the test, they can use it against her in court.
Go ahead and hit me with it, guys. Because we can go through this till blood and face, and bottom line is, I didn't kill my husband, but never. And that's that. And I'll do whatever I have to help prove that. I'll cooperate in my hand. And
polygraph.
I do that. And God and I both know that. And that's that. And
would you take a stipulated polygraph?
What's that?
Difference is if you fail that one, then I can use it against you in court. I mean, you're going to pass it. That's what you're telling me. That's just a question that I have to ask. It's something if I'm going to give you one, I have to ask you that.
I could care less. Okay. I mean, it's...
Okay. Because that could solve a lot of the problems. You pass it, then, you know, then there's not.
After agreeing to the test, Teresa's main concern is not about the fire, rather the amount of affairs she has had. Earlier in the interrogation, the detectives told her that they know she was not in a happy marriage because they are aware of at least 4 affairs she has had. Realizing they may ask her about these affairs, Teresa wants to know what they know before she takes a test.
Obviously.
I gotta ask. I've answered you all.
Sure.
How many more affairs have I had just out of curiosity?
I know of 2 for sure.
Didn't mind me asking who?
I don't mind you asking. I'm not going to tell you right now. But I can prove it. I can tell you that.
Really?
That's for sure.
One of them's 100% sure. The other one's 99.9%.
And I don't know if that includes the one she said she admitted to in the 90s.
Right.
And
well, I can prove
I didn't sleep with him. He was friend.
No, I'm talking about the one you admitted to. Then I can prove 3. You've admitted to one, and I can prove 2.
That was a one time.
How many other
thing.
Names do I have?
So I one time.
I have 7.
Jill and I were separated at that time.
Okay,
I want to
make sure now.
Yeah, Jill and I were separated.
Do you consider an affair a one time thing or more than one?
I consider an affair anything that your husband is not aware of.
Okay, because I wanted to check and make sure that you and I were on the same page, so you,
yeah,
you know, give you the opportunity to be honest.
But with Danny, Jim and I were separated at the time.
Okay.
So more or less, you all think I killed my husband?
No.
No, I don't think that you killed your husband.
No.
But I do think that you had knowledge of a fire.
We do believe that you had knowledge. You either said or you had knowledge that your husband was setting the fire. Plain and simple.
That I would have never let him do it.
Well, that's why you left. You knew he was doing it and you left.
I didn't. I was going to get a car because we didn't have a car and I had turned Redland on Monday.
I understand. I mean, that's a convenient time.
Yeah.
It isn't about convenience. It had to be done.
Time.
Right.
And that's the only time Robin could go.
I know. And it was a convenient time to set the fire.
But I think
there's no convenient time for that.
But I think that your husband.
And if I thought for a minute he was going to do it, I wouldn't have left him because I wouldn't let him do that. That's not.
When they present Teresa with a stipulation paperwork, she has one more question before she signs it.
As long as you don't lie, then you'll say.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Then,
but let's say this is Matt Rook.
That's
what happens
then? That's what a stipulated polygraph is. I could use it against you in court.
So what happens then?
We'll go from there, see what we have to do.
And they prosecute me for murder and take my kids.
I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope you don't lie.
I know it didn't kill him, and I know it didn't help him.
Then that's about the only questions we're going to ask him.
And that I know.
And as long as you know it, then you're good to go.
You do think it was an accident, though, right?
I don't think he killed himself on purpose, no.
Did you take too much of his medication?
Ma'am, I don't know. That's all things. The only thing I can tell you is I don't think. Now, the medical examiner might come back and say, yeah, he did it on purpose. I'm telling you what I think. Kelly.
Yeah.
Is it okay for me to go visit my family? Or should I stay here?
No, you're free to go whenever you want to.
Well, I mean, like, to Kentucky. For a day or two.
As long as you're back by Monday,
right? Honey, I'm not
leaving. I'm not saying you have to be back.
I don't have a criminal record. I don't.
I know that. You used a few different names, but you don't have a criminal record.
No, I didn't. I married a shepherd, which was a mistake. That's my one bad moment. Danny was fraud and got stuck with his credit cards because they would mine. I ain't never in Johnson. And
all I'm telling you is I'm going to set up a pot. I'm going to call you Monday and say you need to be here on this date, okay, for a stipulated polygraph. And you can either A, show up and do whatever you got to do, or not show up. And
I'll be
here. We'll play that game later.
I'll be here.
Kelly.
Teresa comes back the following week for her scheduled polygraph test.
This portion of the test is about to begin. Remain still. Did you start that fire?
No.
Did you plan with anyone to set that fire at your house?
No.
This concludes this portion of the exam. Remain still while I take the instrument out of operation. Like I told you before, I'm just a real direct guy. Been doing this for a long, long time.
I don't want you to be any other way.
Well, big problems with this test.
Okay.
And I think you knew there were going to be big problems with this test. I'm talking very, very big problems, okay? I told you before that I like to think I'm pretty good at reading people.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that I believe when you talk to me, it's that you loved your husband. I don't think you had any intention of killing your husband, but I'm absolutely positive you participated in starting that fire, okay? Now the problem, Teresa, is I can't fix that if you're not willing to be honest with me, okay? Remember I told you that what I needed to ask you was the best question?
Yeah.
And you didn't let me do that. I believed what you told me because I had no cause not to believe you. Okay, now I have positive cause not to believe what you told me was the truth. I think maybe we might need to do another test to find out if you deliberately set this fire to kill your husband.
Absolutely.
Or if you just did it for insurance. But neither. Before we do one, well, tell me why you started the fire then, because you absolutely started that fire.
Sweetie, I didn't start that fire.
No, let me tell you something. I've been doing this a long, long time, and you absolutely did. You started the fire. And I don't know, this doesn't tell me everything about it. It doesn't tell me the hows and the whys and all that stuff. I can only speculate about that. I believe what you told me is true about not wanting to hurt your husband. And I'm thinking maybe he played a part in this. Maybe this was his idea. But until you get honest with me, Teresa, I can't resolve this issue for you.
I don't know how much more honest to be with you.
You can tell me about this fire. You can tell me the truth about this fire. That's the only way I can help you. If you choose not to tell me the truth.
He told me he wanted to die.
Okay.
He told me he wanted to die. And he told me to leave the house. And I said, baby, I'm going to get the car in Knoxville. And he said, don't ask me no more questions. And I said, baby, why? Just tell me why. He said, I just want you to know that I love you and I love you.
And why have you not shared that little bit of information with the investigators up until now?
Because I didn't want them to think that I would sit in jail and take the blame before I let them know he started this fire.
Well, why is that? I don't understand that, Teresa. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Because he was that good of a man, I'm afraid. I know I didn't help him. God is my witness. I did not help him. But I know that morning he had a candle lit, and he had a candle lit there, and he had newspapers there. As far as this whatever was spread through the house, I have no idea what that was. I don't know if he'd done it after I left immediately. Because he asked me to light the candle, and he asked me to turn the oven on so he could start his fire, so he could start his toast going.
I love Freudian slips, okay? Do you know what you just said?
I know what I just said, and I'm thinking, but so that he could start the toast in the oven, he told me to turn that on.
A Freudian slip is a verbal or memory mistake linked to the unconscious mind. For example, when someone calls their spouse by an ex's name, that could be considered a Freudian slip. In this case, Teresa's attempt at avoiding the truth could be what triggered her slip.
And he told me to go ahead and light the candle in the office that was there on the edge of the desk.
Wait just a minute.
But I'm going to
well, let me tell you what to tell us, okay? Is the absolute truth.
And the truth is, I lit the candle in the bedroom. I lit the candle on the desk. I started the oven for him. I put the kids in the car, and I left. What happened after I left?
Well, let me tell you what I know. You started that fire. I know that. Absolutely, positively. Not just 100%. What did I tell you just a minute ago it was?
How can I start a fire 111%. When I'm not there?
Well, right here is your little office area, and your husband was actually found in the floor right here, kind of leaning against the bed right there. And this is where the vast majority of the fire was, but there was stuff poured across the living room about like that. And I'm guessing what you did is you used
I didn't pour
something.
Anything.
Well, somebody
my
did.
My kids were up and
your kids were in the car for at least 15 minutes while you were back in the house.
But they were in and out. But there was
they were
nothing
in the car for
15
minutes. Yeah, there was. There absolutely positively was something
but
poured
I didn't
in your
pour
house.
Anything
well,
else.
That you, every time
honey,
we give
I'm
you something.
I'm not trying to hide anything.
Well, of I course just, you're trying to hide something. You just told me that you lied to him because you didn't want them to know he started the fire. Didn't you just tell me that? So you are indeed hiding stuff. You got to stop lying, Teresa. You've
hey,
got
I'm
to be honest.
He did start it, but I know I didn't start it.
I know you did because the test says that you did.
I lit the candles like he asked me to do, and I left.
So you ate it. He did what he asked. You aided him.
I lit candles, and that was
committing
all I
his
did.
Death. That's what you're saying to me.
Well, I lit candles, but I didn't accelerate anything. I didn't pour anything. And what he done after I left, I don't know.
Where did you light candles?
There was one on the corner of the desk beside the computer that was blue and had a, like a little star kind of globe kind of thing on it. And then there was one on the bedroom dresser. I lit the candles like he asked me to do.
Was he overly medicated that morning?
Personally, I think he's been over medicated for a while.
I'm not interested in a while. That's an easy question for you to answer.
I think so, yes.
I don't want, and I think so from you. You have a medical background. You
yes,
know.
He was.
Now, why so hard about answering questions directly and truthfully?
Okay, guys. Tell me what I need to do.
Tell the truth. That's all we're asking.
I'm telling you the truth. Bottom line is, I didn't set my house on fire. That's bottom line. I didn't do it.
The issue now is not whether or not you set your house on fire. The issue has become whether or not you deliberately killed your husband.
Absolutely not.
Well, I'm inclined to believe that maybe you did, simply because you're refusing to be honest with us about the other issue. So the issue has changed from arson for profit to get you out of your financial stuff to
How
murder.
Is that?
Do you understand
it's
that?
Not gonna,
Teresa.
That's not going to fix anything.
I understand.
And I've lost a man that I've spent half of my life with.
I understand. That man that you're tired. You just said it yourself. You're tired. You got two kids. You spend a lot of time. You're having to work. You're having to take care of your husband because he's not been working.
He's beating on you.
Okay? He's belligerent. He's mean. He's beating on you.
That's not a reason to kill him. He is sick.
You're tired. I know. And he's sick. Your finances are in, you know, a terrible shape.
That's nothing you can't file bankruptcy on and turn around and fix.
You're wanting to get rid of all of this.
But
and start,
my
and start
husband.
A new life.
Not without my husband.
I think you are.
I think you're wrong. And I know you're wrong.
The detectives found evidence that Jim was attempting to stomp out the fire with his feet before smoke inhalation took his life. This shows them that not only did Jim not want to die, he didn't want his house to burn as well.
I think he tried to put it out, too.
I honestly think he tried to put it out, and it went too quick, and he just couldn't. And when it burned him like it did, I think he tried to get out and didn't make it that
You know
far.
What?
That's
For
you're
once,
right.
we agree.
That's the truth.
I think really that's the truth.
But I think what it was is he thought, okay, I'll do this, and it'll go up. I'll get out. It went too fast, and I just don't think he got out. I really do, and I don't, but I can't figure out what the accelerant was unless, God forbid, unless it was some kind of ungodly alcoholic beverages that were spilt through whatever at any given time, or nail polish remover from Allie, or paint.
Things don't last that long.
Exactly.
This
was
fresh.
But what I can't figure out is what the accelerator is, because I took Ron Kibble over there. I let him go through everything. We went through everything. I'm still trying to figure out why my house is burned, why my husband didn't
No, you're not trying to figure out why your house is burned. You know damn well why your house is burned. So you're not trying to figure that out. I'm sorry.
Don't cuss at me.
I'm not cussing at you.
Okay.
But you know why your house is burned.
Because I know
my husband didn't. Why didn't you tell them that? Why didn't you tell them the first interview? What were you afraid of?
Because I was afraid they were going to blame me just like they're doing now.
Why? And that doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
Why doesn't
Not a
it?
Bit of sense.
Innocent people go to jail every day.
If he burned the house.
Innocent people go to jail every day for stupid stuff that they didn't do. And well, I've got two kids that I have to know has their mother. And when you sit and you tell somebody
something. Do you think you're about to go to jail for this?
I pray to God not, but based on what you are telling me, it's looking better than not.
Well, not my case, okay, and I don't make that decision, but what I'll tell you is if it were my case,
I'd be going to jail.
Probably before it got dark.
Yeah.
If it were my case. Because you haven't given me reason one not to put you in jail yet, okay? And that's what these guys are looking for, and you don't understand that. They're looking for a reason not to put you in jail over this, and you keep giving them little reasons to put you in jail. You keep telling them little lies, and every time you lie to them, that's one more little reason why they ought to lock you up for this.
Bottom line is, I don't know how he started it. I lit the candles. I left the house like he told me to do.
All right, let's go back to the question that I just asked you. Why didn't you tell them this the first time they talked to you?
It just didn't hit me.
Let me tell you something. I've been working with these guys, him for years, and him for a couple of years, and I know they asked the question. I know they asked the same question that I asked you. Has your husband done anything out of the ordinary lately? Has he said anything out of the ordinary?
And I told them. He said he didn't want to live like this anymore. He said he couldn't stand this.
Did y'all get that in the first interview?
I think that came along in the second interview, and it didn't come up at that he said. I think it was 2 weeks ago when he said it, if I'm not mistaken. And I have to look, but 2 weeks ago,
and off and on, he's
not the night before, not that morning.
No, okay. And just off and on, he's mentioned he couldn't stand that. He couldn't stand living like this.
After lie after lie, and that's why you're having trouble remembering. Because you can't remember the last lie you told.
It's not that I'm not remembering because I'm not lying to you guys. My husband has just died, and I've got two kids, and I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened.
No, and you should be concerned, and I agree. You got two kids.
And I'm scared to death that you guys are going to blame this on me, and I know I didn't kill my husband.
I think you did, and you're not convincing me otherwise.
How do I convince you otherwise until all this comes back?
Right now, you've told me a pack of lies, and you might have a couple of bits of truth in that pack of lies, and the way you can convince me is telling me the truth. Okay.
What do you want to tell me? I burnt my house to kill my husband?
I want you to tell me the truth.
I did tell you the truth.
I don't want to hear it.
I did tell you the truth. I lit the candles, I left the house, and that was that.
That's the second interview.
I lit the candles, I left the house, and that was that.
All right, you've got a guy who's over-medicated and depressed and has already told you he wants to die. Why do you light a couple of candles for him before you leave?
That was just normal. We always lit candles in our house.
Do you not understand my question? You got a guy who's depressed, overly medicated, who has already told you he wants to die, and he's in bed, still in his bed clothes, or still in undershorts and a t-shirt. Why are you going to leave candles burning with nobody around when he's in bed? Why do you do that before you leave?
Because they're tea lights and they always go out, and that's what he asked
me to do. These are not tea lights. You just said it's just been around. That's not a tea light.
No, honey, that's the one in the bedroom. And then the one on the kitchen counter was like that. The one that was there is a globe. It's like this. Comes about this big. It comes up smaller. Has a little tea light here, and then it has a globe that goes over top of it.
I can almost tell you with 100% certainty, if I saw, asked the fire marshal, was that there, he's going to say no.
Well, they've slung everything out.
I know they have.
And I can guarantee you,
the fire marshal's job is he can go back through stuff and find the small, I've seen him do it, the smallest of things, he'll come show you how he lit
that thing. I will find that candle holder in that house. I promise you it was on the corner of the desk. And that's that. Tell me what I need to do, guys. Do I need to get an attorney?
If you want an attorney, then you can have one. I'm not.
You tell me what I need to do, because I know I didn't kill my husband.
You need to tell him the truth.
And I have told him the truth.
No, you haven't. You lied every breath. At every breath.
You tell me what's the truth.
The police believe that Teresa drugged her husband and waited for him to fall back to sleep. She realized that she needed the fire to burn quickly, so she poured accelerant all over the floor. Teresa then put some of her children's clothing into the garage, put her children into the car, then went back inside to start the fire. The problem was that the evidence they had against her was all circumstantial, so they decided to interview her two children. Both children stated that after they were all sitting in the car, Teresa went back inside for a couple minutes. When she got back into the car, the kids noticed black smoke coming from the back of the home. When they asked their mother about it, she told them that she had been burning some old papers. Their testimony was the evidence prosecution needed to finally charge Teresa with murder. Teresa's lawyers told her that the evidence against her was strong and that she should accept a plea deal. In exchange for her guilty plea, Teresa received life in prison with the possibility of parole after 35 years. Teresa will be almost 70 years old before she gets a chance to be free. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Do you believe that Teresa started the fire? Please share your thoughts in the comments below.